the discipline of endurance. Though to be honest, there were a few things left unsaid, so in June I'll be sticking another 3 sermons in the series on the end of it. They're all mine. If I'd been writing the book, I'd have put another 3 chapters in, but I didn't. So we finish with John Ortberg's book today. I hope you've enjoyed it. I found it an immense blessing looking for it. And we're going to study this morning the discipline of endurance, and for that we're going to go to the epistle of James. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. He means us, by the way. He's writing to us. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. A double-minded man, or a faithful man, or woman. John Ortberg says that the start of the race is enjoyable. It's easy. Finishing it is hard work. To finish well, that's glory. Finishing well is what counts. Finishing well is what counts. And this idea of finishing well, of setting your mind on the end rather than on the beginning, is found right through the scripture, especially the New Testament. The one that came to my mind was Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's all about running the race and setting your eyes on the finishing line. I always envy Jeff when he preaches on his kind of things. He has that throwaway line. When I used to run marathons. Not a line I am able to use. I couldn't run, and I was no good at it. So I tend to avoid these metaphors and analogies of running races because it kind of scares me, and I feel inferior, so I tend to avoid them. But following Jesus to the end, now that I can do. That I can do. Follow Jesus to the very end. Follow him right through, looking to him, because he endured so much for me. I can endure for him. It's James who, in his epistle, talks about the test. Ortberg makes the point that the Bible only ever refers to Israel going through tests, never surrounding nations. Right through the Old Testament, whenever God talks about testing people, it's always Israel. He never tests the surrounding pagan nations. The idea of testing is only ever applied to people of faith. People who don't have faith do not get tested. God doesn't test people who don't know him. It's people like ourselves who've come to know him through Jesus. We're the ones who get tested. And if you read John Ortberg's book. He has a fantastic chapter on Abraham and Isaac. He talks about endurance in confusion, endurance through doubt, endurance in loneliness, endurance despite an answered prayer, endurance when all is lost, all seems lost. It's a fantastic sermon, and it looks so good. I really didn't have the courage to preach it. I'll let you read the book, and he does it so much better than me. A great sermon, which one day I may steal and preach in a moment when you've all forgotten where it came from. No, I always acknowledge where I steal my sermons from. So I'm going to go down a different path this morning, but let me have another quote from John Ortberg. He says this: suffering alone does not produce perseverance. Only suffering that is endured somehow in faith produces perseverance. And I thought that was incredibly true. I've seen in 36 years of pastorate, I've been with people, I've lived with them through some terrible times. And some have not stayed the pace. Some have gone under the trials that they faced. Some have simply given up, have not been able to cope with it. And others have gone through terrible suffering and terrible fear and terrible anxiety and pain, and yet have come through it shining with perseverance and endurance. So John Ortberg is right. Suffering doesn't necessarily produce perseverance. But it can, and the treasures that it produces in somebody who goes through suffering and perseveres, those treasures are fantastic when you talk to them and you see their Christian faith. Book of James begins with this sort of onslaught. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. And my favourite quote on the book of James comes from David Field, the commentary writer, and he says this: the letter of James is rather like walking into a storm of sleet without time to put your coat on. And that's exactly what it feels like, because we just go straight into it. None of you know, I hope you're all feeling well. The weather's wonderful here, and you know, it's lovely, the flowers are out in the garden. None of that. It begins, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That's James chapter 1, verse 2. So, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. And you stop at that point and you say, what? Just a minute. That's not what I opened this letter for. It's not what I wanted to hear. I want you to tell me how wonderful it is to be a Christian. I want you to tell me how being a Christian is an eternal high. I want you to tell me how being a Christian just gives me the key to unlock all my doors. I want you to tell me how becoming a Christian and tithing will buy me a Ferrari. I want you to tell me how being a faithful Christian will give me a beautiful house and a wonderful family, and everything will go right. That's what I want you to tell me, but James doesn't. James is far too wise. He says, listen, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Develops perseverance. James, of course, was the brother of Jesus. In Jesus' lifetime, James was cynical about Jesus' ministry, didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. After the resurrection, he had a change of mind. And while the apostles traveled around the world, Jesus stayed in Jerusalem and became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And he was known in Jerusalem by everyone as James the Just. That was his nickname among the non-believers as well as the believers. He was obviously quite an austere, ascetic kind of man. He led the church through times of persecution. He was known for his love of the Jewish traditions, but his love of Jesus as a saviour as well. He eventually was executed. He was put to death. There was a change of government, and they decided to kill him. And he was killed by the new high priest. A very unpopular move, in fact. Even the non-believers in Jerusalem felt that was outrageous, because here, this was a good man who'd been killed for no reason. So James himself went through the ultimate trial. He died in AD 62, we believe. But that's not 100% sure. And he writes a letter. We're only going to look at just this verse, really. But he writes the letter to Christians in a hostile world, in a fallen world. Remember, a world without anaesthetics and without antibiotics. A world without hip replacements. A world without tooth fillings. A world without ibuprofen cream and deep heat cream. A world that was dangerous. A world that killed you quite young, very often. And he says, when things go wrong, consider it pure joy. Because you know the testing of faith develops perseverance. He doesn't say pretend that it doesn't hurt, by the way. I don't think we're ever asked to believe or to pretend that it doesn't hurt. Jeff Lucas talked about a member of his church, a farmer from the north of England, whose prayer began, I got kicked in the eye by a sheep this week, hallelujah. No, wait a minute, you're not supposed to pretend it doesn't hurt, you know? It does hurt. Be real. Be honest. Admit that it hurts. You won't feel happy about it. But James says to consider it a joy. Because coming through the trial you're going through will bring you to a place, if you walk with God, if you persevere through it, if you learn perseverance through it, it will bring you to a place where you're closer to God, where the characteristics of Christ shine more strongly in your life, says James. It's not glamorous. Nobody ever said the Christian life would be glamorous. Nobody ever said the Christian life would be easy. And persistence and perseverance don't get a high profile in the gallery of virtues. We admire joy, we admire peace, we admire faith, we admire generosity, we admire all thankfulness, we admire people like that, but perseverance, sticking to it, stickability is the word some people use, and that doesn't get a high profile. But James says you need perseverance. You need the power, you need the strength, you need the virtue of sticking to it when you feel like giving up. When you feel like the burden laid upon you is too much, he says you should stick to it. We live in a world where every problem has a solution. There's always somebody to rescue us, usually the government, and always somebody to sue if they don't. We live in a world where we think we have hurting under control. There's a paracetamol for every twinge. But it's not like that in real life. Oh, we buy... See all these women's magazines? My mother used to buy them every week, and I used to have to buy them. Women's magazines, where people's problems are poured out. These people get themselves into a terrible mess. Chaotic lives. And people buy these magazines to read about other people's chaotic lives. It's kind of like if I read about their problems, then I won't get any myself, you know. Much easier, much nicer to read about somebody else's problems than to read about mine. There's a whole section in bookshops these days, I don't know if you've noticed, on sort of harrowing life stories. Have you come across that section? Every book, a story of terrible problems, of childhood abuse and all kinds of things in those shelves. And they're very popular books. People like reading about other people's problems. It's much better than going through them yourself. So there's a feeling if we're a Christian, if we're going to have a problem, it will be over very quickly. It'll a quick prayer, a few prayers, and it will be fine. But it's not necessarily the case. We believe that if you've got enough faith, you'll be healed. If you've got enough faith, you won't die. If you've got enough faith, you'll travel safely. But it's not always the case, is it? James talks about sticking through the trial, about having enough faith to survive the trial. You might die, you might end up on a Zimmer frame, in fact. But James says, you've got to stick with God through the trial, whatever the outcome. God's priority is to make us resistant in all weathers. Don't you love this paint that does what it says on the tin? We slap it all around the door, window frames outside our house, everything, because it's resistant in all weathers. It's good when it's sunshining, it's good when it's raining, it's good when it's snowing. And as Christians, we're supposed to be resistant in all trials. Commenting on this passage in James, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You've got to go through it. You've got to stay to the end. It's the finishing that counts. There's a beautiful passage on this verse by Alec Mateer in his commentary. And he says this. It's quite a long quote, but it's on the screen. We say that we believe that God is our Father, but as long as we remain untested on the point, our belief falls short of steady conviction. But suppose the day comes, as it does and will, when circumstances seem to mock our creed, when the cruelty of life denies his fatherliness, his silence calls in question his almightiness, and the sheer, haphazard, meaningless jumble of events challenges the possibility of a Creator's ordering hand. It is in this way that life's trials test our faith for genuineness. You have, next week, preaching here, John Robinson. An American with a deep voice, great preacher. You're going to love John. He's preaching morning and evening. But John is a huge fan of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he's bound to quote him somewhere. So I thought I'd get a quote in first, just to show he's not the only one. Bonhoeffer was a German Christian in the Second World War who joined the resistance movement to the Nazis. He was arrested. He spent a time in prison, and he was eventually hanged. He's executed in prison. And out of that experience, he wrote some of the profoundest pieces of reflection on the Christian faith. His prayer was, Lord, you have granted me many blessings. Let me also accept what is hard from your hand. He says we are not to simply bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice. We are to drive a spoke into the wheel itself. And that's what he tried to do. But it brought him to the trial. Brought him to a difficult place. Brought him to a prison cell. And that was 67 years ago that Bonhoeffer died. But he asked God to be given the grace to receive blessings from his hands. There are several passages of scripture, in fact, that have exactly the same theme. If you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. For this reason, he says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to go on growing in these qualities. And at the heart, in the middle of that, is this quality of perseverance. If we don't stick it through the trial, then nothing will happen. Paul, I think, makes an even stronger point in Romans chapter 5. This is right through the New Testament writers. Romans chapter 5 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So far, so good. We say, Amen." Well, that's great. Justified through faith in Jesus, peace. That's what I want. That's what I signed up to be a Christian to get. But then Paul takes us further into verse 3. "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings." Same thought as James. "Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." So God, above all the Christian disciplines, needs perseverance. Needs us to stick at it when the going gets hard and when life's problems pour in upon us. And we feel we cannot take any more. And just at that moment we feel we cannot take any more, something else happens to stress us and upset us and disappoint us and disillusion us. But Paul is clear. God the Father will walk with you through the trials. We are never on our own through those trials. Though God may seem distant, he is actually there at our side, even when we're struggling and floundering. And I know that many of you have gone through periods in your life when you've struggled and floundered and felt that you'd lost all hope and lost the plot, couldn't understand the chaos that was erupting around you. But now you look back and you say, do you know what? If it hadn't been for God, I wouldn't have survived. Derek Redmond is a retired British athlete. He was a very successful athlete at the beginning of the 90s. He held the British records for the 400 metres. He won gold medals in the 4x400 metres relay at the World Championships, at the European Championships, and at the Commonwealth Games. However, his athletic career came to an end because of injury, and he went on to do all kinds of things, basketball, and he's involved in UK athletics still. And he actually appeared on Celebrity Gladiators in 1994, if you remember that. Some of you weren't even born probably then. But somebody sent me this video. It was a close friend of mine from Anglesey, Dylan Rees, sent me this video. It's going around the internet, so it may well have turned up in your inbox as well. Somebody took Matt Redman's song, the Father's song, and put it to a clip of Derek Redman running in the Olympic Games in 1992 in Barcelona, in the semi-final, which, as you see, ended disastrously for him. There's just one thing that you need to know. At one point in the video, a figure runs out from the crowd. That is Derek Redmond's father. I found this very moving, so I finish with this. Finally, if you are listening to this online on the internet, you will need to Google Derek Redman and the Father's Song, and you will find that video on YouTube somewhere. I did. The band would join me on the platform, please. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, it's hard to watch that without getting emotional. We lean on you, Lord, in the hard times. We reach out to you in the difficult places. We surround ourselves with love when we have no love left for ourselves. We hold on to you, Father, because we know that our destiny is with you. Our eternity is with you. We are safe, we are secure in your love. And there is no trial or test that we will go through which we will have to face alone. Father, we love you and we respond to you in Jesus' name. Amen.